Hi, I'm Dawn, and you're listening to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and tell your friends. Enjoy.
Welcome to PRN. Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler. For all of us who have walked in our faith very long, we all have a story about how we came to faith, a story of how God wooed us, a story of a decision that was made, a beginning to this journey that we're on. And in today's podcast, you'll get to hear the story of Liz Bergstrom, who was vulnerable in her own story to be able to share it with us today. And I know you're going to enjoy it just like I did. I'm so excited to have Liz here today to share her story. Welcome, Liz.
Hi.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Yeah, good morning. This is Liz, and I live in Hickory, North Carolina with my husband, Max. I've lived here about 7 years, and he's been here about 2.5 since we've been married. I work in HR here, and he's a full-time student. And we love being outside and camping and hiking in our free time. So it's a fun area to be in.
Awesome. Okay, before we jump into the really serious stuff today, I thought it would be fun to ask a silly question. What is a random or fun fact about yourself?
Fun fact would be I'm an identical twin. So I have a twin sister, and she's a big part of my story. And so it's always a fun thing to share with people that I'm an identical twin. So
that is cool.
Yeah.
Liz and I have known each other for a couple of years, and she has a really cool story to share today about how she came to faith, and I'm really excited to hear about it. So take it away.
All right. Well, I grew up in Kansas, and I lived there until I was about 12 and then moved to North Carolina, but I grew up in the Catholic Church. Both my parents were Catholic, and we went to church every Sunday, and I went to Catholic school until I moved to North Carolina. And my relationship with God throughout that time and even through high school was kind of a relationship with tradition and just consistency of going to church. So it was knowing God in an area of prayer, not prayer personal or relationship personally, but more saying prayers like Our Father and Hail Mary. So the tradition of the Catholic Church, but not one that I was praying to him about issues I was going through or struggles I was going through necessarily. And I think part of that was my perception of myself through that time growing up was I saw myself as someone that didn't have a lot of issues or struggles. I made good grades. I was a fairly decent daughter and sister. And so there wasn't a lot that I think pushed me into relationship with God. It was just going through the motions and not a lot of heart there.
Yeah.
And no perception, I think, of the gospel. So going to church, but no, it didn't necessarily click what actually the gospel meant. And so
right.
That fast forward to the end of high school, get ready to go to college, and a super exciting time going to Lenoir Ryan here in Hickory and getting to play college golf, which was a goal of mine throughout my childhood. And so a really cool transitional time getting here to Hickory and starting school. And
so did you move here from Kansas to go to school?
No. So oh, okay. I went to mostly the end of middle school and then high school in North Carolina. And I actually was in Greensboro at that point. Went to public school and loved it. And then when we went to college, my sister went up to App, and so she wasn't too far away. And it was nice. And within my story to have someone like that close by. And so
starting
that fall, it was definitely a whirlwind of, oh my gosh, I'm by myself at a new place. I think being a twin kind of accentuated that because I'd always had someone that was my best friend by my side, kind of processing life with, and she wasn't there anymore physically. I mean, we kept in touch, and then it was this kind of downward spiral of I wasn't as good as I thought I was, and these struggles I had never had before started to come up of I love to to go out and drink and party, and the people I was running around with totally encouraged that behavior.
Yeah.
Not from a place of destruction, but just the culture of college. I think that's fairly typical.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, some deep shame of some other struggles that came up. And so one of those being porn, which was something that was not planned. I don't think anyone's struggle in that area is planned,
yeah,
but
for sure.
Kind of a weird downward spiral and then lots of shame associated with that. But at the same time, meeting these people through campus ministry at Little Rhine who were unlike any people I'd ever met before, and their love for Jesus and their complete understanding and trust in the gospel was just super overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
And they were incredible. And this happened almost at the exact same time. So this weird combination of I have this lifestyle of partying and not really knowing who I am and feeling like I'm at a dark place, but then feeling God's pursuit like I never had before.
Yeah. How did you come to know the campus ministry? Like, did they find you or?
Yes. And they had a great outreach program to freshmen. And so they were really involved in orientation and move-in and all the points that you would be able to meet freshmen. And so, yeah, especially the females within that campus ministry reached out and like invested time in me, took me out to coffee and just opened up. And I think their vulnerability was a huge part of why I felt comfortable coming to Christ in that area. And so I think vulnerability is a powerful tool and testimony. And they had shared some of the struggles that I had was going through at that time. And so it was comforting to know that I wasn't alone and to put some light on kind of that dark shame that I was feeling. And so it didn't happen overnight, but I definitely felt God's pursuit that year and this huge awakening of the gospel. I think that was the most pivotal piece of my path to faith was I had grown up in a church, but had no concept of what the gospel actually was. And then it was almost like blinders were lifted off my eyes and I saw God for who he was and Jesus and his overwhelming grace. And that was very, very powerful.
Yeah.
I know it was quite a busy freshman year, but.
So all that happened the first year?
I'd say, yeah.
Wow. It was busy.
It was, yeah, emotional. But throughout that, I think God strategically put my sister in that picture and obviously this campus ministry and being patient because it was a cycle of I love the Lord and I think at that point I wanted to be a good person again. Not realizing that that's not really the point. But yeah, it was I think that continued through college, just trying to figure out what that looked like in relationship with non-believers and realizing my weakness in areas and being realistic about that and having a healthy relationship with God. And so, yeah, and it's a continual struggle, but that is my story in a nutshell. But
okay, so tell me, she has this amazing husband named Max, and I know you guys met during college,
right?
So where did he come into this story?
He came into the picture the summer after my freshman year, and so at that point, I would say that I was farther along in my faith than I was, and I guess the summer before. But we met at a campus ministry actually through a church I went to in Greensboro. And so he was staying in Greensboro that summer doing classes. And so he was going to that church as well. But he was fairly new, similar situation, similar testimony, but fairly new in his faith kind of throughout that year. And so it was kind of neat meeting someone that, I don't know, there's a unique perspective of people who just, I think, come to faith. Especially at that age. And so we were both baby Christians, but making lots of mistakes, but loving, I guess. But then like loving all the new things that we were learning about Christ and Jesus and the gospel and scripture. I think both of us were, not well versed on scripture at that point. But yes, it was a really exciting journey together.
Okay, so you mentioned your twin.
Mm-hmm.
And what role did she play throughout that year? Like you said that she was really instrumental.
She was a person that I would call at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be drunk and throwing up. I'd be like, Rebecca, why am I making these decisions?
She said, do you remember having those conversations?
Oh, yeah. Okay, absolutely. Yeah. And she's like, I don't know why you make these decisions. No, she was the person that I'd say she gave me the boldness to own my faith. Growing up, I never wanted to rock the boat, and I wanted to make people around me happy and comfortable. Rebecca was less concerned with that than she was concerned with her own journey, I think, with faith. And so at that point, she had her testimony kind of started earlier, and her walk to faith was more when we were still living with my parents, and she owned her faith and ended up leaving the Catholic Church. And I supported her in that decision, but just a boldness to her faith that I definitely envied. And she was the person that kind of called me out in a graceful way. She probably wouldn't say it was graceful, but in a loving way, and someone that I could be completely and totally vulnerable about all the things I was going through. And I think that's, I'm definitely blessed to have someone like that. I think that's a unique thing to have. That's someone you can tell everything to, and they're not going to judge you. They're going to lovingly steer you in the right direction. Correct. Yeah. Right. And so that was really helpful. I mean, she still does that today. So
that's really neat.
Yeah, she's great.
You mentioned earlier in your story that your view of God kind of changed in your relationship with Him as you came to faith. How exactly did your view of the Lord change, like from the way you grew up in church versus knowing the gospel?
I think He became more of a father figure, if that makes sense. I think my relationship with Him growing up was very tradition-based and very just, it was routine. And not, like I said, a heart thing. It was something that I didn't see Him as someone that I could talk to one-on-one. And that definitely changed. And I think part of that was buying my own Bible when I got to college and feeling comfortable. Like, I remember just little things, being excited, reading scripture and underlying things in my Bible and be like, this is so crazy. I'm writing a Bible. This is bizarre. But I think that kind of illustrates, I had a deep, maybe reverence is the right word for God, but not an understanding of His love.
It wasn't personal.
It was not personal at all. And I think I kind of put Him in a box growing up of, this is what God is. This is what He does. And I think that's something that definitely changed. I think I saw Him more as a sovereign God that's in control of everything, and He can do anything and everything. And I think in that balance between being completely just and completely loving was totally new. And just being comfortable praying. I don't think prayer was a big part of my relationship with Him until this point in college of, I feel comfortable talking to Him about anything. And then the floodgates kind of opened at that point. And so completely different. And I think at the same time, my theology was changing. I also left the Catholic Church and kind of pursued my own theology and faith. And so that shapes, I think, your perspective of who God is as well.
For sure.
Completely different, but in a good way.
You talked about falling back into old habits and ways of thinking for a while, like that was a struggle and it took a little while. How did those things change over time, and how long would you say that that took?
I think throughout the rest of college, it was hard to be in the world but not of the world. I know that's cliche, but I think that's the best way to describe it. I had developed this group of friends who weren't believers, but I valued their friendship, and I didn't want to rock the boat and just stop showing up to parties because I thought that was a good decision. And at the same time, liking, falling in love with campus ministry and these people, but that was a really hard balance. And I think it was a cycle of, I'd remove myself from my non-Christian friends for a while and swing this way to Christian community and then swing back the other way. And it was a constant, I think, pull to either way. And I would always end up, when I stayed too long in one area, I'd end up resenting them and then move to the other area.
That sounds really so typical of humans, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
Finding balance.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was hard. And I say in some capacity, it's still a struggle of mine of what does that look like to be a Christian and be a part of the world, but also be conscious of, at that time, I was struggling with drinking. Why was I struggling with drinking? And I think over time, I understood that with this group of people, I liked myself better when I was tipsy or drunk. And that's not a healthy relationship with alcohol. And so I would have never been able to admit that then. But I think that was...
But hindsight is 2020.
Hindsight is 2020, absolutely. And so that was, I think, a cycle that my testimony is what it is. I can't go back to and change anything. But I think I probably sacrificed some friendship on both sides of that pendulum that I think I probably would have done differently in hindsight.
Yeah.
So that was a hard cycle. I think it's easier being outside of college and making friendships within a church community. I don't know. I mean, it's easier by default, but
yeah,
that's still a struggle, I think, with having non-Christian friends versus Christian friends, what that looks like, and then protecting your own, I guess, relationship with God throughout that process. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah. I think some of that is that age, too, because I look mm-hmm. back at some of the choices I made in high school and college relationship-wise, and I think, oh, my word, I really right. messed that up. Like, how immature was that?
Absolutely.
But some of that is maturity as well, but yeah.
Definitely.
How would you encourage others who are discipling new believers, and new believers particularly who are struggling with hang-ups, which honestly is not everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, even not new believers struggle right. with hang-ups, but especially new ones mm-hmm. who are really figuring things out like you were.
I had a great opportunity to actually have a specific disciple throughout college, which I don't know that I, in the moment, saw it as so much of an opportunity as someone that I had to share my shame with, and I wasn't super comfortable with that. So I sometimes dreaded our meetups. So I was like, I don't want to tell her this. But that's one of those relationships that I wish I had changed a little bit. Patience is probably the biggest thing. I can't imagine being in that person's shoes that discipled me, and it sometimes probably felt like banging your head against a wall of why do you continue to make these decisions? I think you, as a new believer, you underestimate the situations you put yourself in.
Uh-huh.
I think you underestimate you're always going to choose sin. And the situations you put yourself in can make that easier or harder to do.
That is really good. That is a really good point.
And so I think I was naive, and that was probably really hard for my discipler to see was, Elizabeth, you can't go to a party and expect yourself not to make these decisions. That's just not realistic. And so I think that patience is a big one. And leading with vulnerability is really, I think, important as well. A lot of new believers aren't comfortable with, I'm going to tell you all of these things that I'm going through. I think that's, it's not typical, I think, of outside the Christian faith to be that up front and forward with your weaknesses and your struggles. And so someone that kind of leads with things that they're going through, it makes it easier, I think, for a new believer to share the same thing and reciprocate. Grace, I'd say, is a big one. I mentioned that my sister showed me lots of grace throughout this time, and she still shows me lots of grace, but I think that's a really important trait. And then just practical accountability, certain things that I was going through, people around me offered to be practical, do things on a practical level that were holding me accountable for some of my actions. And I think that's really helpful. And
can you give an example?
I think just like when I said I would call my sister at 3 o'clock in the morning, she made herself available to be like, hey, when you make or you feel like you're going to make a bad decision, you can call me and we can talk through it. Or what if there's like, you can gain access to people's search history and like their phones and laptops, like that can be super helpful. And just practical kind of thing, I think, can be really, really powerful. Not that she was going to come back and say, I saw you did this.
Yeah.
Or why did you make this decision?
But even knowing she was a part of that.
Correct. Just feeling, I think, two people are stronger than one in that situation. So I think that's really helpful.
For sure. Who is somebody who inspires you?
I would say that I can't necessarily pinpoint one, but I think my family in general is a group of people I'm really blessed to have. And I think there's pieces of each of them that I strive to be. And I think it's, I see Jesus in all of them, and different traits that they have. Like my sister, I talked about how bold she is. And I love that. I strive to be that way. And my husband is so patient and so kind. And those are traits that I'm not very good at. And I wish I could be better at, especially patience.
I will echo that in my marriage as well.
Yes, absolutely. He's so kind and so patient. And my mom is ridiculously kind and so easygoing and doesn't let life throw her off balance a lot of times. And so I think I have good examples of grace and Jesus' love and the people around me. And just, I'm really fortunate to have a family that loves me well. And I think a lot of people struggle with seeing God as a father figure if they don't necessarily have a great father figure in their life. And I'm lucky to have an incredible dad who is super, super loving and so generous to the people around him and his emotions and time. And so I think that was helpful in my faith, was to have such a good relationship with him and be able to kind of correlate that to my relationship with God.
That is really good. Yeah. I love that. So this podcast is about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. And so I want to ask you, do you have a favorite Bible verse?
I do. I'm trying to find it.
Okay.
I think this is a testament to, I owned my first Bible in college, and this is an insecurity of mine, is scripture, because I'm not the most well-versed on scripture.
Well-versed.
Yeah. So punny. And so it's something I'm hoping to improve, but also not judging myself over and trying to be graceful towards myself. But a big verse that was important, or verses that were important to me throughout this time, were Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. And I actually have it bracketed. See, I wrote it in my Bible.
Yay.
And it's, this one I think a lot of people connect to. It's a typical like wedding verses or marriage verses. But at this point in my life, I kind of just connected to community and the importance of having people around you that are walking in their faith. And so I loved these verses. But it's, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I love those verses.
It's a really good passage.
It is. Yeah. I love those. So that was really, I think, important throughout this journey, was keeping people around me, not pushing people away. Because I think I wasn't doing it because people around me were failing me. It was because I felt like I was failing myself, and I didn't want them to witness that, and being okay with that, being okay with people disappointing people around you. So
The older I get and the more experience I have, the more I cannot emphasize enough how important community is to our mental health, to our spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. Just like, we are not made to be alone. God didn't make us that way, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love that passage. It's really good.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much, Liz, for coming. Do you have anything else you want to share?
Of course. No, I think this is just a great opportunity. This has been kind of therapeutic for me to share my testimony. I think testimony was a big part of why, of God's pursuit of me and why I came to faith. And so I think it's valuable to share your story with other people, even if parts of it make you uncomfortable.
Well, we're blessed to hear yours. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I was really blessed to get to talk to Liz and to hear her story. I think her perspective was really good, and it's a good encouragement to all of us who are discipling young believers, or even to remember our own stories of how we came to faith. If something you heard today resonated with you, feel free to comment on the Facebook page, Pause, Renew, Next, to join in the conversation. Or you can feel free to comment on the website, pauserenewnext.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with others who you think would enjoy it as well. New podcasts are released each Tuesday. And keep an eye out for new blog posts on the website. This podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that podcasts can be found. You can follow PRN on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. This is Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.